He's not a name many of us know, Esmond Martin, but for African wildlife, he was very important. An American conservationist and ivory trade investigator who lived in Kenya, Martin was found stabbed to death in his Nairobi home this week. Four suspects have been arrested in connection with the murder. Kenyans are in shock.
He was not just an asset for Kenya. He was an asset for pachyderms wherever they were, elephants and rhinos.
That's Kenyan Paula Kehumbu. She leads the conservation group Wildlife Direct, and she worked closely with Martin. Kehumbu says Esmond Martin was relentless in his pursuit of illegally traded ivory and rhino horn.
So he went into places where these things were happening very openly in markets. For example, in China and Hong Kong, where ivory is simply being sold openly in shops because it was legal. But it was also being sold openly in markets like in places like Angola or Congo. He observed who was buying it and the prices. And he exposed a lot of things that nobody knew, you know, where the rhino horn was going, for example. He's the one who revealed years and years ago that they were being turned into handles on these daggers in Yemen. And this really altered our perceptions about how to deal with some of these challenges. He recently did a lot of work around Asia, especially China, Vietnam, Laos, recently Myanmar. And he was trying to understand how the international agreements were translating into actions on the ground in terms of factories where they were carving ivory or shops where ivory was being retailed. He wanted to understand what was happening to the prices of the items, what kind of items were being carved, the size of those items, in order to really understand how those markets were behaving and what was happening with the demand.
It was hard to miss this man, considering he was investigating stuff underground, and he stood out for a number of reasons. What did he look like?
Well, Esmond never tried to conceal his identity. He was an extremely tall man. I think he was over 6 foot. He had a big shock of white hair, so everybody knew him. Mm. He was stood out wherever he went, especially in Asia. From what I know, he never tried to conceal what he was doing. He would openly go into shops, ask questions, take photographs, gather data. And he believed that people were very open to him because he was honest about what he was doing. He wasn't carrying hidden cameras or anything like that.
We're talking ivory and rhino horn. It's a multi-million dollar business. Was he ever concerned about the risks he was running investigating it?
He must have known when there were risks and where the risks were. He went into places where the actual shopkeepers and sellers didn't really give a toss about global matters. You know, they were just selling stuff, you know, in the stores and in streets. The most prominent thing he would do is report on the scale of the ivory, for example, in the United States. He reported that the scale of ivory trade, illegal ivory trade in the USA, was second only to China. And that led Americans to rethink their position and their moral authority on these issues, and it led to clamping down. It led the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to take radical action to shut down the illegal market. I imagine that when he went into the major Chinese factories, they might have been a little bit more cautious, but he was never threatening. He's not somebody who caused anybody to go to jail. That wasn't his work. His work was just to document what was happening, and that information was then taken up by many other agencies to justify their lobbying positions at the international conventions like CITES, and also to push their own governments to do a better job.
And CITES, that's the International Convention on Endangered Species, correct?
It's the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, yes.
Yeah, that network of conservationists and the international community understand what his loss means. What about the average Kenyan? Are wildlife and wildlife concerns relevant to them?
Kenya has a surprisingly strong public attachment to wildlife. We have a very, very important tourism industry, so already people feel there's an economic benefit to wildlife. But recently we've started showing a lot of wildlife documentaries, and the general public attitude towards wildlife is very, very positive, and we've shown this through surveys. When people read what we've written about Esmond and what he did, there is this real sense of loss for the nation and for our wildlife.
Paula Kehumbu, a Kenyan conservationist who worked closely with Esmond Martin, helping us remember this man. Thanks very much, Paula.
Thank you.